Joining us right now is the guy you saw in 60 Minutes on Sunday night. He has been making the rounds with his brand new book called Personal Foul, a personal account of the scandal that rocked the NBA, former NBA referee Tim Donaghy. Tim, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Thanks. All right, man.
Oh, Tim, we appreciate you coming on. Hey, you know, the thing I'm curious about, and I don't know if a lot of people know your background. You worked for 13 years in the NBA as an official. You were rated among the top officials in the game. I mean, you were considered one of the best guys out there. Yet, you began to gamble on the league. I'm wondering, Tim, how it started. You mentioned on 60 Minutes that you got involved with card games at a golf country club and betting on golf. Were you in a hole and you needed the money to get out, or was this just an extension of your gambling?
It was just an extension of the gambling and you know, the fact that I was involved in many aspects and many forms of gambling. I unfortunately made the poor choice of stepping across the line with the knowledge that I had of being able to predict the outcome of games and using that information to place winning bets.
What percentage of bets do you think you won over the course of your gambling?
Between 70% and 80% correct, I was able to pick the games.
70% to 80%. And a lot of people have pointed out that some of the trends that you've suggested in the book don't necessarily hold up if you extend them out over a period of time. Some things with, you know, Allen Iverson and the official, a particular official, etc. Are you just saying you picked your spots very, very well?
I did. I picked the spots very well with knowledge of situations that had taken place in previous games. And, you know, it's unfortunate that the individual from ESPN decided to take the stance of trying to discredit me, you know, based on those stats. But actually, those stats don't add any justice to what I did or how I did it.
And that's because you, as Steve mentioned, picked your spots. You didn't do, these trends weren't rules for you as much as you made these bets on feel.
On feel and on knowledge. I would, you know, look at the referees for the games and take into account both positive and negative relationships that existed and come up with my own betting line. And then I would look it up into the newspaper, and if that betting line was different from my betting line by 4 or 5 points, I would tell them to bet the game.
Tim Donaghy is our guest. He is the author of Personal Foul, singular, a personal account of the scandal that rocked the NBA. You can buy that book at Amazon.com if you're interested. Tim, you mentioned in your sit-down interview with Mark Schwartz that I think you did yesterday that Mark said he asked you if you were the only one. David Stern called you a rogue official that was acting alone, and you said no. Elaborate on that. Do you think there are other officials who are gambling?
Yeah, obviously there's been reports that 13 other officials are linked into this somehow, some way, by James Batista, who was actually involved in my situation. I can't say personally that any other referee placed bets on games, but what I did was I used that information of positive and negative relationships and the fact that there were biases in these games that allowed me to place these winning picks at 70 to 80% correct.
Do you think any of the other referees knew that you were gambling?
No, I don't. I think it was a situation where we all had open conversations about gossipy type things that went on. And, you know, I used that information. And unfortunately, I crossed the line to bet on NBA games.
You said, again, referring to the Schwartz interview, that you think that this could be part of a broader problem, but you have no specific knowledge of anybody else gambling?
I mean, obviously, the Petrovich report states that all the referees gambled. Some gambled more than others, but...
No, but gambled on NBA basketball.
Correct. No, I have no knowledge that any other referee gambled on NBA basketball.
Tim, it came out in that interview also that you were asked for specifics, and one of the things you named was Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals, which was played across the street here at Staples Center. That was a game that before you were ever discovered to be a gambler, a lot of people were shaking their heads at. The Lakers shot an extraordinary amount of free throws. late in the fourth quarter. It was a game, an elimination game for the Lakers that forced a game seven in Sacramento. How blatant was it, in your opinion, that there was, and I guess I should come right and ask it, do you think that game was fixed for the Lakers?
I think the word fixed is a strong word. I honestly think that it was manipulated, and I honestly think that the referees were programmed in pregame meetings to understand that in the previous game, calls were missed that should have gone for the Lakers and calls were made that should have went against Sacramento. And, you know, obviously Dick Bavetta is one of the well-known referees, and he at times made statements that he was the NBA's go-to guy and that he was put on certain games to make sure a certain team won. And it's no secret that in the past other players and referees know that unusual things happen when he's involved in elimination games.
You say that there was manipulation on the part of the league. Who would have done the actual manipulation?
What they do is they have film sessions before every playoff game. And what they do is they sit in a room and they go over the tapes from the previous games. And they point out errors in the games that happened that seemingly always went against the team that needs the win in the series.
Tim Donaghy is our guest. Tim, how did you get caught? I heard in the 60 Minutes interview you went to great lengths to kind of keep yourself directly out of it. You use code names. Eventually, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? How'd they get you?
The straw was is that it was actually heard over a Gambino wiretap, and they knew that it was a referee. They weren't sure who the referee was, but through phone records and tape recordings, they traced it back to me.
You know, you're now speaking openly about the Gambinos. We heard it in the 60 Minutes interview. It's apparently in the book that they approached you and they started to get your picks and demanded your picks. Do you fear being public about all this now?
You know, fortunately, I decided to write this book without the fear that anything would happen. I've had constant contact with FBI agents, and they assure me that they have people within these organizations, and that if my name arises, that they will definitely get in contact with me and alert me right away.
Tim Donaghy is our guest. Tim, you know, a question. Steve and I actually disagree about this. After watching the 60 Minutes piece, I believe you that you were able to officiate games independent of how you made your bets. But I'm the only one that seems to believe it.
Yeah, I find that to be so incredulous. I wanted to
get your opinion on it. You know, how do you, in a close game, if you know that you've got a lot of money bet and the mob's got a lot of money bet on a certain team and a call could go either way, you honestly believe that you called it just as if you didn't have a bet on the game?
I did. I think I was able to put it out of my mind, and I think that a thorough investigation was done not only by the FBI, but by the NBA itself. And, you know, for me, it was a situation where if I was making calls in games that were wrong to help me win a bet, it would have set up red flags immediately. And the bottom line is I did not want to be detected. So that's something that I didn't do.
Yeah, it's as you look at. By the way, how long did you actually go to jail for?
I went to jail for a little over 13 months.
And were you in like prison or jail or what kind of facility was it?
Yeah, in the beginning it was a federal prison, and then towards the end, for the last 2 months, it was a maximum security jail.
And was that after? I know that you injured one of your knees. You got beat up, right?
I got attacked. A guy in the original prison whacked me with a stick a couple times, claiming to be part of the organized crime syndicates in New York.
And why were they mad at you? I mean, you did what they asked.
They were mad at me because, obviously, when you cooperate and give in up information that basically puts people behind bars, it's something that's not looked upon well in prison because... A lot of guys in prison were put behind bars because somebody actually cooperated with the authorities.
Do you think 13 months was fair, given what you did?
Yes, I do.
That was the right amount of time. Now, do you still gamble or have a desire to gamble?
No, actually, you know, when you think about the devastation that it caused not only my life, but the life of my four daughters, my ex-wife, and my parents, you know, that's the furthest thing from my mind to step back into that arena.
So then you don't think you've got a, or you don't think you had a gambling addiction or have a gambling addiction?
No, I think I do. And in fact, I have a therapy appointment scheduled for tomorrow, and it's something that I'm going to continue to fight for a long time. But when I get to think about that itch or that want to step back there, you know, I just think about my kids, and it keeps me away from it.
Tim, and we're talking to Tim Donaghy. I know you've probably thought this through your own mind a thousand times, but I'll ask you anyway. Was there a point in the process as you look back on this where you could have gotten yourself out of this? In other words, like did your best friend know? Did your wife know? Did somebody ever try and sit you down and say, look, man, you got a great career, you got four daughters, or did that event just never take place?
You know, it happened periodically. The actual guy that I was placing the bets with in the beginning, you know, at times we were winning so much, we were in fear of being detected, and we said, you know, this is crazy. We shouldn't be doing this. If we do get caught, it's going to be a major problem. But it was a situation, you know, at times where, you know, maybe he would go to the casino and lose 15 grand or 20 grand and, you know, we needed to get some money back. Or maybe we had a situation where, you know, we just couldn't stop doing it because it was so predictable and easy for us.
What's the biggest bet that you made?
The biggest bet that I made is probably, you know, on some football games to where we bet $3,000 each.
That's it, $3,000 each?
Right.
And what's the most you ever bet on an NBA game?
I think $2,500 each.
And was, Tim, was that to stay under the radar more than anything else?
Sure it was, because we were winning at a great clip, and unfortunately, you know, we didn't want to be caught.
And when you said the word, do you have any sense for how much other wagering went your way? In other words, you said this is the pick, and you said that to whoever with the Gambinos, whoever your contact was, and they went out and gambled. Any idea how much betting there was total based on your word?
Just from the little information that was shared with me from the FBI agents, you know, they bet hundreds of thousands of dollars per pick, and they made millions of dollars.
So then you were conceivably moving lines.
Absolutely, I was moving lines. I think that was, you know, determined, especially in one game where I think Miami was playing Phoenix. I think the line opened up at 14 and closed at 18.
Wow.
Yeah. Tim Donaghy is our guest, and he's written this new book that explains his side of the story, Personal Foul, a personal account of the scandal that rocked the NBA. It's available now on Amazon. Tim, what are you going to do now? If I gave you the opportunity to kind of decide how the rest of your life is going to play out, how would you like it to go?
I certainly would like to do something constructive with my story and pass along to student athletes throughout college campuses that we certainly have choices to make in life. And when we get to that road where we know we're making a decision that is maybe not something that we should be doing, that the consequences could be that we're not only going to affect ourselves, but, you know, obviously the people we love the most, and that's our families.
Yeah. If I gave you an audience with the NBA, and I don't think this is going to happen because they're so mad at you, but if I gave you an audience with the NBA and they asked you, what should we do to keep another Tim Donaghy from happening, what would you tell them?
I would sit them down and actually describe in detail what I did and how I did it and how relationships come into play and how relationships are formed. And how they actually influence how the referees make calls in games.
These relationships obviously still exist out there in the league. Some of the relationships, you know, Allen Iverson is now back in the league. There are certain officials that, you know, as you say in the book, like certain players, dislike certain players. Those things are still out there. Do you think those trends and those patterns are still going to be there?
I'm not sure. You know, I think it's a situation where obviously they're trying to clean this mess up as quickly as possible and paint me as the rogue individual and not going to expose any of the facts that are true in this book. And I think that the referees are trying to do the best job they can in putting those biases aside.
But Tim, you don't accept the rogue thing, and yet you can't point to anybody else who's involved in gambling, so it does sound like it's a rogue thing.
Well, I think it's a correct statement that it's a rogue thing in regard to, am I the only one that crossed the line and made the poor choice of betting on NBA games? Absolutely, I feel that that's a correct statement. But am I the only referee that, had used biases or knew about biases in games and discussed these situations with other people? You know, I think that it was openly discussed.
Tim Donaghy has been our guest. Tim, last thing for you. You know, the book is out now and people can buy it. There was another publisher that was going to publish it and didn't. How'd you get the book published?
I ran into a dynamic woman by the name of Shauna Verscher out of the VTI group, and she contacted me and felt that it was a story that needed to be told, and it was a situation where she was able to piece everything together very quickly.
Well, we appreciate you coming on.
Thanks.
I know you're doing a bunch of these, so thank you for your time, Tim, and good luck with the rest of your life. I hope you get what you're looking for.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. Tim Donaghy, Personal Foul, a personal account of the scandal that rocked the NBA.